On the rare occasions when Michael Gillick needed to know what day it was, he could check his pillbox. It was the size of a small briefcase and had 7 compartments, 1 for each day of the week. Each compartment was subdivided into sections for the 5 times each day that Michael took his pills: 7 o'clock in the morning, noon, 3:30, 8:30, and 11 at night. He set his cell phone alarm to the times to make sure he did not forget. Once a week, Michael or his mother would refill the compartments in a careful ritual that was the pharmacopoeial equivalent of turning the hourglass. For a typical week, he counted out 138 pills, tiny pink morphine tablets for pain, yellow steroids to normalize his immune system, white phenobarbitals for seizures, and blue oval-shaped antihistamines for nausea and dizziness. There was also Prevacid for heartburn, Coragard for high blood pressure, and a yogurt pill for indigestion. 3 times a day, Michael took a powerful blood pressure medication called Regitine. Years earlier, the drug's manufacturer, the company's name at the time was Ciba Geigy, had stopped making Regitine in pill form, but Michael had secured a large stockpile and had been working his way through it ever since. Michael lived with his parents in a ranch-style house on a shady street in the comfortable Brookside Heights section of Toms River, New Jersey. He did not get out much. He loved movies, but a trip to the theater was an ordeal because he was extremely small. Strangers would point and say, "Oh, what a cutie." Once, when he was 14, he stepped out into the lobby to look for a bathroom, and a woman demanded to know why he was wandering off without his mother. He had tried dating, but it did not go well. When Michael was 16, he developed a mad crush on the girl who delivered the newspaper. He would watch her from his bedroom window every morning. But when he finally got up the courage to try to speak to her, he kept his eyes on the floor. Later, he realized why. He did not want to watch her watching him. Born in 1979, Michael was now a man. He stood 4 feet 6 inches tall and weighed about 100 pounds. If Michael held a job or attended school, there would be other ways to measure the passage of time besides his pillbox. Michael had tried 1 semester of community college. He was definitely smart enough. He ended up with straight A's. But everyone in the Gillick family agreed that school put too much stress on his damaged body. A job would be even worse. So Michael stayed home instead. Most days he would sleep until noon, watch soap operas in the afternoon, exercise — he liked lifting light weights — mess around a bit on the guitar, and then play video games or watch professional wrestling for hours and hours after dinner. Michael was a night owl, but he had his reasons. Staying up until 3 o'clock and watching television was far superior to trying to sleep. There were 2 nightmares he could not shake. In the first, he watched through his bedroom window as the family dog ran out into the street and was hit by a passing car. The second nightmare, far worse, came from the horror movies and fantasy video games Michael loved. It featured a hideous, blood-soaked man brandishing a huge knife in a howling thunderstorm. "I'll always be with you, and in the end, I'll come for you," the man would tell Michael as lightning crashed. Then the ghoul would kill Michael's parents and older brother, 1 by 1, as Michael watched. After 1 especially horrific night when Michael was young, his mother asked a police sketch artist to come to the house and draw the imaginary man based on Michael's description. But it didn't help much. The gruesome killer was true to his word. He kept coming back. His name was Sir Can, and only later did Michael and his mother invert the name's syllables and figure out its significance.